Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. In several previous episodes of Eyes on Success, we talked about Vinix, an accessible operating system based on the Linux operating system. In this episode of Eyes on Success, we'll talk about another accessible Linux operating system that you might be interested in trying out.
Sonar GNU Linux is a version of the Linux operating system that has accessibility not just for people with visual impairments, but for people with many different types of disabilities built into it. We'll speak with Jonathan Nado, its lead developer, about its many features and capabilities, about how and why it was developed, and towards the end, about how you can get involved in further advances. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jonathan Nado. As you'll learn later, he lost his sight suddenly at age 14.
Here's my pet peeve, and here's what I've experienced in my life and kind of what I've seen, you know, throughout my walk so far. I wasn't born blind, so I have a different mindset. And when people are trying to get me to go to Perkins and people are trying to get me plugged into all these blind things, a lot of the instructors didn't like me because I wouldn't settle for... Well, blind people don't do that. You know, blind people should only do these three things. That's not how blind people do it. And that's what I always heard. You know, blind people don't do it this way. I'm like, well, guess what? Maybe I'm not a blind person. You know, I could see for 14 years. So, like, even in school, when I was going to college, there was a professor. They were doing some crazy Excel spreadsheet stuff in my business class. And I was like, I don't know if my screen reader is going to be able to handle this. And you know, maybe we should try and figure something out. And he's like, well, maybe you should just switch majors. And I was like, what? I'm like, just because I have one hurdle, you're telling me I should just switch majors? So things like that make me very upset. And I think there's a lot of kids growing up that are born blind. And this is to no fault of their parents, because their parents don't know what to do either if they've never had a blind child, where they get brought up into this kind of like blind system and they're told, well, don't do that. Blind kids don't do this, or blind kids don't do that. This is how blind kids do it. And they're kind of taught to just kind of settle instead of like branching out and trying something. Like, so what if you fail? People that can see fail, you know, like just because they're blind doesn't mean you shouldn't take chances. That's my pet peeve, is don't let anyone tell you blind people can't do this or blind people can't do that. Do whatever it is you want to do. If you think you're capable of doing it, then do it. And if you fail, so what? Get back up, try something else. You'll find something else that you can do that you can be successful at. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do anything just because you're blind.
You know, that is great advice. I think you're right. There's a lot of typecasting that goes on and a lot of assumptions about what the capabilities of a blind person might be that goes on.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the reason we do this radio program, is to show people with real life stories how blind people, you know, in various circumstances have done amazing things and all kinds of things. And it's not that they have to sit at home, you know, selling pencils or something. There are a wide range of opportunities out there.
Exactly. And, you know, and what really bothers me is, at least here in the States, how many kids that are growing up might never even realize the potential that they're capable of when they're just held back their whole life. So by the time they're 10 or 12, it's already been put into them, well, blind people don't do that. And so now they're in that blind person mindset.
And I'll encourage listeners to use our search feature. If you put in words like career, jobs, employment, and you'll come up with a list of shows where we've interviewed people with very successful and creative and rewarding careers, and you can hear how they accomplished their goals and circumvented obstacles to get where they are.
And in addition, if you're not necessarily looking for a career, but you're interested in how to pursue some hobby or athletic interest that you have, similarly, you can put in other search terms and you'll find we've done shows with many blind people who've done all sorts of things that you might find surprising for a blind person, and had great achievements or just plain enjoyed what they were doing.
So give that search feature on our website a test drive.
Let's let's start by meeting Jonathan Nadeau and learning about his background that enabled him to become the lead technologist for the Sonar GNU Linux project.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Nadeau. I'm the lead developer of Sonar GNU Linux. I am a father, a husband, and I am a blind technologist.
And what is the cause of your vision loss?
I was in a car accident at the age of 14. It was a pretty traumatic car accident, and I lost my sight from that. I had a lot of head trauma, and thankfully all I lost was my sight when I should have lost my life.
Gee, wow. You use screen readers, Braille, and a bunch of assistive technologies, I take it.
Yeah, I do. I started using, I think it was like JAWS and Windows 3.1. I got my car accident in 1992, so I started using screen readers, you know, around 93 or 94. And I do read a little Braille. I'm one of those people who, unfortunately, don't read Braille that well. But, you know, technology's come a long way these days, and you can get still quite a bit done without reading Braille.
So you were in high school, presumably, when you lost your vision. Did you get sent to a school for the blind, or were you mainstreamed immediately and were able to stay with your original classmates?
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school. I just started high school. Within a few months, I got in the car accident and lost my sight. And the school did want me to go to Perkins, but my mom didn't want me to go to Perkins because I knew what my school looked like. I still had a great picture of where everything was and what people looked like and things like that. And she wanted me to stay with my friends. So she kind of had to fight the school tooth and nail to keep me there. But I stayed there and went through high school in my normal high school.
And how do you make your living now?
I've been in various projects. So right now, I'm currently doing marketing and PR work for crowdfunding campaigns. I help them market their campaigns, whether it's on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, you know, places like that.
And now you said you're the lead developer of the Sonar GNU project, which is an operating system we'll talk about later on. But how did you get into programming and doing these kinds of technical things?
I kind of stumbled into it. I didn't necessarily plan on doing it, but it just kind of worked out that way. I went back to school probably when I was 30. I'm now 36, and I majored in business and I minored in computer science. And from there, kind of around that time is when I started getting into Linux and free software, open source software. And I started a bunch of projects my freshman year of school. And I've been involved in the open source community for the last 6 or 7 years.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the Sonar GNU Linux project.
Today, we mostly wanted to talk about the Sonar GNU project. Can you tell us what this is?
Sure. Sonar GNU Linux is an operating system. It's an open source based operating system. Some people call it free software. It's an operating system focused on people that need assistive technology. It's not just for blind and low vision users. Sonar comes with a screen reader built in for blind users where they can install the operating system on their own with no sighted help at all. It comes with screen magnification built into it. It comes with a couple of on-screen keyboards for people with low motor skills. So if they only have use of one hand or very little use of one hand, they can access the keyboard on screen using the mouse. There's also a font included for people with dyslexia, so they can switch the font over. It also has eye/head tracking software, so quadriplegics can actually move the cursor on the screen with a webcam plugged into their computer just by moving their head, or even sometimes their eyes will move the cursor on the screen. So even quadriplegics now could have access to a computer through Sonar.
So although our listeners are primarily visually impaired, it sounds like Sonar covers a wide range of accessibility features to accommodate many different types of people.
Yes, yeah, that was the focus with Sonar. There are you know, other Linux operating systems. I know you guys interviewed the people from Vinix. They specifically focus on, you know, blind and low vision users. But with Sonar, I'm trying to focus on people with all types of disabilities. There are 1 billion people in the world with some type of disability, and I want to be able to give them access to a computer through Sonar.
What was the origins of this project? How did it get started?
Well, I'm a Linux user, an open source software user, and the regular Linux operating systems don't really cater to people with disabilities. They do have things that can help out users, but the problem is, you know, getting the operating system installed. Then if you're blind, the screen reader on most of the operating systems wasn't installed by default. So you'd have to have, you know, a sighted person help you. The sighted person may or may not understand Linux. So that's a whole barrier to get over. So you need a lot of help just to get up and running. So I wanted to make it easier for, you know, blind and low vision people and people with other disabilities to be able to get a hold of an operating system and have it cater to their specifically their needs right away out of the box.
So you're saying if a visually impaired person downloads this program, they can install it all by themselves. The installer talks and gives them feedback as they install it on their system as a new operating system.
Absolutely.
I understand there are several ways in which a user can install and run the Sonar GNU Linux operating system. Can you describe those?
We have a VirtualBox image. So if you're running Windows and you wanted to just install Sonar into VirtualBox, you could import the VirtualBox image and you can run Sonar that way. Or Sonar also runs, it's a DVD, so you can run Sonar in a live system. So what that means is when you boot Sonar up off either off the DVD or your USB stick, it boots right into the actual operating system on the DVD. So you can actually use the operating system just as it would be on your hard drive on the DVD. So you could actually use Sonar and try it out and see if you like it before you even install it. And it doesn't affect anything on your hard drive while you're trying it out on the live DVD.
So that's a great way of testing it out. If you don't want to mess up your system, you can just run it off a DVD or a thumb drive or something. And once you're ready for it, you can install it on your system or not.
Exactly. Or you could even, you know, set up a dual boot if you really wanted to. You could, you know, leave Windows on one side of your partition and put Sonar on the other side.
I assume there's other developers working with you and making contributions. As a blind person, you're obviously familiar with what a blind user would need. Do you have other developers with each of these other disabilities, or does somebody just somehow know all this stuff?
Yeah, I have two other guys, two other full-time guys, I would call them, that help both of these guys, Kyle and Kendall. They're both blind also, or, you know, not fully blind. So I think Kyle has maybe a very little vision, but I believe Kendall's totally blind also. And then we have two other developers, Bill, who is also kind of a low vision user, and another person, Mike, who actually has no disabilities. He's a sighted person that helps out when he can.
Well, when you say full time, you've got a full time job. This sounds like a big, big time investment.
There's periods where not much needs to be done. And then, like, just now, for instance, we just released all new versions of Sonar within the last few days. So things were very busy for, you know, weeks leading up to that. But now that we've released Sonar, now things kind of, you know, quiet down a little bit. It gives us time to, okay, what are we going to look to do for the next release? How can we make this better? And we just keep looking at ways to improve it. So we'll have a few weeks of downtime, and then we'll kind of ramp things back up. And then pretty much every 6 months or so, new versions of Sonar come out.
So you talked a little bit about Vinix, which is a version of Linux geared especially for the visually impaired, and they make their builds off the Ubuntu flavor of Linux. Which version of Linux do you build off of?
We use a Linux distribution called Manjaro, which in turn is based off of Arch Linux. So Sonar is essentially based off of Arch Linux. The reason why we use Manjaro is they have an awesome build system that helps us get the Sonar builds made the way we want them to. And the Manjaro team has helped out immensely to make sure that we can be successful at using their build system to make our Sonar images. The reason why we chose Arch Linux is because Arch Linux always has the latest and newest packages available. The minute a new package comes out, Sonar is going to have it. And so there's always leaps and bounds made with assistive technology within Linux. And so it's always great to get those latest and greatest packages within Sonar. Originally, Sonar was based off of Ubuntu also, but I didn't like how the Ubuntu system was kind of mixing and matching packages. And they had some older ones paired up with some newer ones. And I couldn't control any of that. I was held to what Ubuntu was doing. And so I was looking for something to switch to, and I found Arch Linux.
So you said that Sonar has the Orca speech synthesizer and screen reader built into it and a magnification system for the visually impaired. Do any of these things break when new updates to other parts of Linux come out?
Thankfully, no. And this is another reason why we're using Manjaro, because Manjaro takes the Arch Linux packages and it puts them through a vetting process. So within Manjaro, there's three branches. We have the stable branch, the testing branch, and the unstable branch. Even though it's called unstable, it's still relatively stable. Now, what happens is if you're running Sonar with the stable branch, which the standard versions do, when new packages come into Manjaro, they go into the unstable branch and they go through testing and they're vetted. Once they pass the qualifications for unstable into testing, they then move into testing, and then they go through various vetting again in the testing branch. Once they pass that vetting process, now they're pushed into stable, so you know everything is going to work by the time they hit the stable branch. So imagine if you upgraded from like Windows 95 to Windows 98 to Windows 2000. That's what I could do with Sonar without breaking it.
Well, that's pretty nice.
Maybe you guys should work for Microsoft.
So Sonar, Arch Linux is kind of what they call a rolling release. So essentially, once you install it, technically, you would never have to install it again. Like, you could just keep updating and updating and updating.
So the updates happen automatically, and you can be pretty much guaranteed that things will work.
Exactly.
And if people download the latest version from your site, they're more or less guaranteed to have a workable and stable operating system with all the applications running in sync and working pretty well.
Exactly. And for the off chance, if some, like, say, if an update comes down and, you know, let's say Firefox or something, and it doesn't work with Orca, within Sonar, the package manager is called Pacman. And Pacman actually allows you to roll back packages. So even if you did get a package that broke, and you're like, oh, this isn't as accessible as the last version, or, you know, X doesn't work now, now you can roll back that package and be back up and running no problem.
You talked about the screen reader and magnifier that are available in the Sonar GNU system. Can you tell us what other applications are available when you download this software?
Yeah, sure. There's Firefox for web browsing. There's Thunderbird for an email client. That has LibreOffice installed by default, which all that is relatively accessible. This isn't included in Sonar, but there's a podcast catcher called GPodder. You can install that and, you know, put all your RSS feeds into that and download your podcast. There's VLC for watching videos and listening to music. There's Pigeon, which is an instant messaging client. You can use that to hook up to like Yahoo and MSN and Google Talk, and you can actually use Skype through that if you wanted to.
As well as speech, does it support Braille displays?
Oh, yes, it does. Like I said, I myself don't use a Braille display. I've seen lots of other users on the Sonar mailing list that use Braille displays, and I've seen the majority of people that have Braille displays, the drivers do work, and I haven't seen really any issues with that. But I myself don't own one, so I can't really speak too much on that.
A lot of people are used to using either a Mac operating system or Windows operating system. How big of a transition is it to using an operating system like Linux? What would a person have to do to get over that hump?
Well, I myself have never used a Mac ever, so I can't really speak on that. But what I can say is Windows has made a lot of changes in the past, you know, from Windows 7 to Windows 8. And from what I understand, the Mac user interface has changed quite a bit. So it seems like either way, no matter which way you go, there's always going to be some type of a learning curve. Now, a lot of the stuff in Orca, let's just say with the screen reader, a lot of the keystrokes and the key commands for Orca are very similar to JAWS or NVDA. So it's not like you have to kind of throw out everything you know and learn a whole brand new system. It's going to be some similarity. So it's not going to be a gigantic learning curve. But I had someone email me like a year ago that was a JAWS user. They had someone, quote unquote, help them clean out their computer, and they formatted the computer, and this person no longer had a valid JAWS license. So they were like, what do I do now? So they found Sonar and they put it on. They installed it. They said within 20 minutes, they were back up and running. Like, they didn't skip a beat. So it took them about 20 minutes to kind of get used to the system, and they were back up and running.
So as well as learning a different screen reader with maybe slightly different keys but a similar paradigm, there's also the issue of the operating system and how it's laid out and commands and names of commands, you know, Thunderbird instead of Outlook for Mail or LibreOffice instead of Microsoft Word. How do people get over that hump?
Well, I guess, again, that's part of the learning curve, because with Linux, you don't need to go to various websites and download each individual package. Everything is kind of built into the system. So when you open up the software manager and you type in a keyword like I'm looking for a music player, it then pulls up all the music players that are available. Then you look through the ones that you, the one you might want. You click the checkbox to install it. You hit enter, and then boom, it starts to install the music player. So everything you need to install is like self-contained within the operating system itself, which is, for some people, they might not grasp that right away, but it's actually a, quite a cool feature.
Once you get used to that paradigm, that sounds very simple. Easy way to install things and find new programs.
Absolutely.
There's also lots of help and forums if you search on the internet if you have questions about Linux. I've found those very useful. Are there any places that you would recommend in particular where people should go for using a getting started guide or something?
For Sonar specifically, we do have a getting started guide on the Sonar page. Your listeners, by the time they hear this episode, I'll have quite a few videos up on YouTube, tutorials showing on how to use Sonar, and I'll take those video tutorials and turn them into audio tutorials also, and you'll be able to find the audio tutorials on the Sonar site, and from there I'll be showing the nuts and bolts of how to do everything. Here's what happens when you press this key, here's how you get to this menu, here's what this menu's for. It'll be everything they need to know to get them up and running.
Oh, that'll be a big help.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier the possibility of running Sonar in a virtual box. Can you describe a little bit in more detail for our listeners who may not be knowledgeable about virtual machines, how that works?
Yeah, sure. So again, by the time they hear this episode, I just got the virtual image done today, so I'll upload it to the site. And basically what will happen is they can install VirtualBox on their Windows machine, or if, you know, or if they're even running Linux, you install VirtualBox, and it has a .vdi file. And then all you need to do is import that .vdi file into VirtualBox, and then you start the Sonar machine, you turn it on, and then boom, Sonar will boot up right into the desktop with the screen reader talking, and you can try out Sonar that way.
So VirtualBox is essentially a program that you run on your computer that enables you to simulate running a separate machine running the Sonar operating system.
Yes, exactly. So VirtualBox is essentially letting you run a completely other operating system within your current running operating system. So, you know, depending on your computer specs, you could literally be running, you know, 5 or 10 operating systems all within your one computer.
And the nice thing there is that you can switch back and forth between each operating system. So you can be running in Windows, and then with a certain keystroke, you can all of a sudden be in the Sonar operating system.
That's correct.
And which operating system or systems do you personally run?
Well, I obviously run Sonar. What I do is I have like 5 or 6 different hard drives that I just plug into my desktop. So I'm always running Sonar, but if I need to use Windows for like a Windows-specific program, I shut off my computer, plug in my Windows hard drive, turn it on, and then boom, I run Windows, do whatever task it is I need to do, shut it off, and plug my Sonar hard drive back in.
Speaking of rebooting and coming up with another operating system, one thing I always thought was neat about Linux is how quickly it boots, and then once it does, how snappy it is. I helped a friend of mine install it on a very old computer they had where Windows was really getting to be a drag, and he put this Linux operating system on his system. It was just running fine.
Oh, yeah. On my laptop, I have an SSD drive, and Sonar, I'm probably fully booted into my desktop in like 10 seconds.
That doesn't happen in Windows.
No. and like you said, too, Peter, you touched on this. And another great another great thing about Linux is it runs great on older hardware. We have another version of Sonar called, it uses the Mate desktop. And the Mate desktop is a very lightweight desktop. You could easily put this version of Sonar on like Windows XP machines and it will run great.
Well, that's good advice for someone wanting to drag one of their old computers out of the dustbin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had something lying around. And, you know, instead of doing a virtual machine, you could just pull out your old dusty laptop or desktop and put Sonar on that and see how you like it.
Now for this week's final item, how you can learn more about Sonar GNU Linux and how you can get involved in its ongoing development.
So if someone would like to learn more about Sonar GNU project or download it, where would they go?
So they would go to sonargnulinux.com. So it's SonarGNULinux.com.
GNU is an acronym, correct?
Yes, it stands for GNU is not Unix. it's a recursive acronym. And so programmers thought that would be funny.
Programmers have a special sense of humor.
Exactly. But the whole reason why GNU was started, it was back in like the late to early 80s, where the person that started this project, his name is Richard Stallman. And back in those days, there was no such thing as proprietary software. Everything was like open source. Everyone shared their code. And he felt that the day was coming where we would then begin to see lots and lots of proprietary software. And he did not like that. He wanted there to be software freedom, where people can see the source code of all the programs they're running, understand the source code of all the programs they're running, to change and modify the source code of it if they want, and to also distribute it freely to whoever they want. And so that's where the GNU project came in. And so that's why Sonar is Sonar GNU Linux, because it's based off of kind of those ideals and based off of all of that software.
And that is one of the really nice things about Linux also in the Sonar GNU, that it is open source and freely available to anybody who wants to download it and take the trouble to install it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and that's if, you know, people want to get involved, they can. You could literally hop on a mailing list or jump in a forum, and there could be a specific piece of program that maybe the one button isn't labeled. And it's worth writing an email to someone saying, hey, I'm a blind user. I'm using program X. You can explain to them how you're using the software. And you can say, this button right here, when I press this, I have no idea what this is. Could you label this for me? And, you know, not everyone's going to reply probably nicely to you. But there are, in my experience, there are people out there that are like, you know what? I never considered, you know, a blind or low vision person using my program. You know, give me a couple of days and I'll fix it.
Are you looking for other people to help out on this project or parts of the project?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the more help, the merrier. So, again, if you go to sonar.gnulinux.com, there's a contact us page. You can reach us right through that. And there's all kinds of things we could use help with. Even if you're like, I'm not a programmer, I have no idea what I'm doing, that's fine. You know, help promote Sonar. You can write articles. You could, you know, document how to use things within Sonar. There's all kinds of help we could use.
And I guess just even providing feedback on some of the new releases and how well they're working is very helpful.
Exactly. Definitely.
And as usual, you'll find links to all of the resources we talked about, and as well as links to our previous episodes where we talked about the Linux operating system, so you can compare the two. And just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net and look for those show notes.
That's it for show number 1524. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about employment issues for the visually impaired. Blind since birth, Michigan Supreme Court Justice Richard Bernstein is passionate about improving employment opportunities for the visually impaired. We'll speak with him about challenges faced by blind individuals seeking employment and some new initiatives to employ the blind. And the following week, we will continue the conversation with him as he talks more about his own personal experiences. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.